Welcome!
Welcome.
To the third episode of Between Rounds.
Is it the third already?
Third already.
My goodness.
Everyone's favorite completely unorganized... Disorganized?
Disorganized.
Disorganized, ambiguously lengthy podcast.
Wow, that was a good intro.
I nailed it, alright? That's our style here.
That was beautiful. You couldn't write this stuff, folks.
That's probably true.
It would probably be better.
This is now available both on our YouTube channel or on MTGcast, which means you can get it on iTunes by looking for it.
Yeah, it's theoretically. It's a little bit tough to find, I found.
We're part of the big MTGcast
feed. The MTGcast feed that's like active podcasts, we come up in there.
You can search for Between Rounds and you should technically be able to find it that way.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Go on iTunes and have a look around.
You'll figure it out. You can also listen to it on MTGcast.com.
Or on YouTube.
So I'm Dennis.
I'm Ashi.
And what happened in the wizarding world of Magic the Gathering this week?
Tempest Remastered dropped, didn't it?
Tempest Remastered dropped actually 2 weeks ago because you weren't here last week.
I wasn't here last week. I've been doing exams.
You slacker. I have exams too. Is that an excuse?
It is an excuse.
I did a Tempest Remastered draft. I don't like it.
Really?
I did a couple of drafts. I don't like it. I don't...
I never played any of Tempest Block.
I played two drafts of Tempest Block when it was a flashback one time, I think.
Okay.
It's not fun.
No.
I don't think...
Was it made as a vehicle to reprint Wastelands or...
No. It's a reasonably well-balanced format and everything. It's fine. I just don't... Magic's changed a lot since that time, and I think it's almost universally accepted that it's for the better.
Okay.
Now, with Tempest Remastered, they took all of Tempest Block and condensed it down to one set to try and refine that limited experience a little bit more, but a lot of the cards are sort of unintuitive and not very good, and it just doesn't feel like a cohesive kind of format.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's like a shadow deck and stuff, but I didn't enjoy playing it.
Okay.
So I personally wouldn't recommend it. I don't know how people feel about it or if they like it or not. But with Modern Masters just around the corner, tough it out.
Modern Masters 2 is looking like a cool draft format.
Yeah.
A little bit disappointing from the reprinting cards needed in Modern side of things.
As per usual.
Yeah. But, you know.
I think it looks... It's much less... Modern Masters 2 looks much less archetypal.
Yeah, in Modern Masters... The original Modern Masters, it was just pick a deck.
It was... And every two-color pair had, like, a nice... cohesive
archetype
that you could draft and was very clear.
There are still archetypes in Modern Masters too. They're just not as strong. Like, not that they're not as strong.
They're not powerful. You mean not as clear?
Yeah, you don't have to. Like, if you draft, in old Modern Masters, if you were drafting, what was it, green white, you're drafting Sacraments. Or if you were drafting Thalids, and if you were drafting, what was the other one?
Blue black fairies.
Yeah. If you were drafting
red or white. Blue artifacts, affinity.
So there's still that happening in Modern Masters 2, but not as clear cut.
Yeah, there's an artifact deck there. There's a
an elementals deck,
which is not going to be good, I don't think. Wasn't that also in the first one?
Was elementals. What was red blue in the first one?
Storm.
It was Storm. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm excited. It drops next week, and I think it drops it drops early on Magic Online as well, so people have time to practice for the GP.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. We're probably going to be drafting it here.
At
least once or twice.
Yeah, it's pricey enough is the issue.
It's pretty pricey. If you win, though, I made a lot of money drafting Modern Masters 1.
Because you get rares out of it.
Because it was over the course of 2 days. I won 3 8-4s in a row, and I opened 2 Vendidian clicks.
That'll do it.
So I had like 200 tickets or something in that range. It was pretty sick. So if we could just do that again.
Let's go with that.
Yeah. That'd be great. I don't know what the pricing is going to end up being on Magic Online.
I think they tend to stick to MSRP.
Which is what, $10 a pack?
It's less than that, isn't it?
I don't think it is. $8 a pack? I don't know, we'll find out. Big change as well, which isn't going to affect me because I never play paper, is they have the new packaging from
It's recyclable, yeah.
It's cardboard.
I don't know if that's going to last through to further sets. I thought they were trialing it in Modern Masters 2.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I feel like I think that's the new de facto method going forward.
Really?
I feel like I read that. Doesn't make the noise. It makes a... Like a, you know when you get like those cardboard tabs.
Yeah, no, they're fun. They are fun to tear.
The little rip. It doesn't have the smell. Doesn't seal in the smell.
That's gonna be a problem for me.
Is it actually?
Mm.
Are you serious?
I'm gonna quit Magic.
Okay, well,
and just start sniffing glue instead because it's pretty much the same. Experience.
It's pretty much the same deal. Yeah. So I don't think that's a big change. It like I said, it doesn't affect me literally at all.
Yeah, because I don't think you've opened a pack in 2 years.
Like. I don't think so. No. The other big thing that people have been talking about, well, there's been two big things of very, very different tones that happened to the Magic community over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, we've had our highs and lows.
So we'll talk about them in chronological order.
Okay.
So the first one...
So we're getting the bad news.
Getting the bad news first.
This is when we were kind of nervous to actually bring up on the show, because...
Yeah, I might cut this.
Yeah.
So I suppose if you're hearing this, I didn't cut it.
Yeah, but we do want to preface this by saying that we are not experts on this.
No.
And that we don't... We're not trying to offend anyone. We're just interested in talking about what people have been talking about.
Okay.
Giving our spin on it. If we upset you in any way, please try and remember that we're quite stupid. We probably don't mean it maliciously, we're just morons.
We're not, we're dancing around the issue a bit. In the GP, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, it wasn't the GP, wasn't it?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't
Toronto?
The GP. Anyway, a player was featured, who shall remain nameless, but if you Google this, you'll find him pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Who is, I believe, a registered sex offender?
He's on the list.
Yeah. For aggravated sexual battery, I believe was the charge. Which is something that he committed a decent amount of time ago.
A long time ago.
Served a sentence for,
mm-hmm.
and in the eyes of the law is absolved.
Still on a register.
But you are for, anyway.
Yeah.
But people were upset that he was featured playing Magic the Gathering mm-hmm. on stream.
Yes.
Because that's... I don't really understand why.
So... There's a few different sides of the issue, right? And what's been a little bit frustrating to me is the people who are complaining about this have been complaining about different things in the same umbrella mm-hmm. and sort of conflicting things.
Okay.
So there's been a lot of talk about how he shouldn't be allowed to be featured in a feature match.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't know, maybe there's something about, you know, people being on feature matches being some sort of role model. Again...
Not I don't know about that.
The other one is, it was the fact that it wasn't announced.
It wasn't made public.
That he was on this register.
It came out, quote-unquote, on Twitter after the fact.
But, I mean, people were talking about how if they were to be playing against someone, and they would feel unsafe. Now, that seems weirdly... like an argument for not publicizing it.
You live in blissful ignorance kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that... This is going to sound insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Is that that person's problem? The person who will be feeling unsafe?
I mean, like... The question there is, if that's the issue you have, if you feel unsafe playing against...
Someone like that?
Someone with that kind of background, then surely the feature match isn't the issue. It's the fact that he's allowed to play in the tournament.
Right.
So why were people freaking out about him being given a feature match if that's their concern?
And then the other semi-argument is that by putting him in a feature match, you're sort of condoning it?
But you're not.
That seems like a reach to me.
It's entirely irrelevant. I hate to bring this up because to besmirch his good name because I love the guy, but Patrick Chapin did have a history with he had run-ins with the law.
Of a different sort.
But again, if you're going with the condoning argument, then letting Patrick Chapin play on the Pro Tour, is he in the Hall of Fame?
I think he is. He won the Pro Tour.
Mm. I feel like he's in the Hall of Fame. But anyway, like that, they're not condoning his past actions. They're saying he's moved on as a person.
So that's to do with the... I mean, people would argue then that that's to do with the nature of the crime. But
I don't think Wizards as a company would want to condone any sort of...
I don't think Wizards has made any statement about this, by the way.
They haven't.
Off the top of my head.
Because I think they're taking exactly the right approach, which is...
Ignoring it?
Yeah. I don't think it's relevant.
I don't think it matters to him playing Magic the Gathering. I'm not condoning what he did.
No, absolutely not.
I'm not saying that isn't a horrible thing to do. All that stuff stands. But in terms of him sitting down to play a game of Magic the Gathering, I don't see how that's related.
No.
That's my own personal opinion, and I'm aware that might be an unpopular opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Our match has started. Our round has started.
Man.
Do you know what we'll do?
We'll do this. We'll
pause the recording and we'll continue
in the next two rounds. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. We hadn't foreseen this happening.
This has never happened before.
Okay. Let's pause the recording.
We're back. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we didn't do so good.
No. But yeah, who listens to the podcast who doesn't watch the videos?
That's true. So what was the other thing we want to talk about was, on a lighter note, Tolarian Community College.
So this was the good thing that happened.
The good thing that happened. I'm going to look up what his numbers are at the moment. But yeah. Tolarian Community College, the professor.
A man named the professor, which is his real full name.
Yeah, first name Thaddeus Hector Professor, has decided to attempt to make Magic videos full-time.
Uh-huh.
Or closer to full-time, because he was unable to keep up making content,
jobs and
his content.
Yeah.
So he set up a Patreon, which at time of recording, he originally said if he could reach about $880 a month, he would quit one of his jobs and start making videos in place. He is currently at $5,707 per month.
So he hit his numbers.
$5,707 per month, which is, just for reference, about 68,000 United States dollars a year.
I like that you said United States dollars.
Patreon takes some of that.
And then there's tax.
Credit cards take some, they pay tax and stuff. But that is that's not a small chunk of change.
No.
So great congratulations to him.
Absolutely. It's a lovely story.
Why can't we get on that gravy train, Ashin? Why aren't you a lovable English professor?
We're just two idiots who play magic.
That's true.
People already give us a ludicrous amount of money to play magic.
Okay.
Which we would be doing anyway.
You sound big headed. Please head over to our Patreon and see the actual amount of money.
Yeah, no, I think any money over no dollars and no cents is ludicrous.
That's fair. I don't appreciate that. But when we just mentioned that he makes $5,500 a month, in theory, those are all prospective numbers. He hasn't actually received a penny yet.
Sure.
But you then saying we make ludicrous amounts of money makes it sound like we make...
We make $110 a month?
Yeah.
Between two of us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please go support us on Patreon. But anyway.
Or not. The whole point is,
it's great. That's a beautiful thing.
The reason we put it up there... I was very reluctant to make a Patreon account.
That's true. I had to talk you into it.
You had to really talk me into it. And it was just because people kept asking us, hey, how can we help? Can we give you money? This kind of stuff. And it was awkward having to go, well, you can send it to my PayPal, or you can write a check, or you can take all your pennies and put them in a wheelbarrow and leave them on the hillside and we'll go and collect them.
You pick up a few blades of grass and let it into an easterly wind.
Exactly. And a pigeon flies down to my shoulder with a note stapled to it.
Stapled.
Jesus,
it's grim.
Well, these are the kind of people who leave wheelbarrows full of pennies on the hillside.
That's fair.
So
we want people to give people a structured avenue to do that.
Yeah.
And you did, and that's great, and thank you, and we're grateful for every penny. It is way more than any penny we ever thought we'd ever make doing
exactly,
this.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's fine. If you do want to support us, that'd be nice.
It's also fine, yeah.
But in terms of the professor, who makes much better videos than we do.
With more production value.
More effort.
Definitely more effort.
He has managed to set up a situation where he can do what he really loves for
full
a living.
Time.
Which is great.
Very impressive.
And that's what I'm envious of. I'm not envious of his raw monetary...
No, it's he gets to do this all the time as his job.
Yeah, which is great. And that's excellent for him.
And it's going to be excellent for us as well, because he's going to be putting out lots more cool content.
That's true. And if you haven't already, although I doubt anyone hasn't heard about this, head on over to patreon.com/Tulane Community College.
Mm-hmm. Or just subscribe to his YouTube channel.
Also,
he does make fun stuff.
Then that's great. And that's a great indicator of... Bernie Burns from Rooster Teeth has a great talk about the power of a small audience.
Mm.
And while he has tens of thousands of subscribers...
60,000?
Just shy of 60, I think, something like that. Comparing that to even Rooster Teeth or PewDiePie or Markiplier or whatever, it's orders of magnitude smaller.
Yeah.
But the power of a dedicated,
small
captive, but captive audience...
Well, captive is the wrong phrase, but dedicated I like.
I think captive is appropriate.
A captive audience makes it sound like they're not allowed stuff.
No, you know. Okay, well, a dedicated audience. The power of a dedicated small group of people is that they can fund this guy a pretty solid salary.
Yeah.
To do what he loves, which is a great, great thing. He'll be making more, assuming all these numbers work out. He'll be making significantly more doing this than he did at his old job.
Yeah.
Because he said in the video how much he made in his old job, which he was very embarrassed about. Not because it was small, but because it's a personal thing to share.
And you have to. And he did put himself out there. Mm-hmm. You got to say for the guy, he, you know,
you can see in the video and on the stream, he's very emotional about it,
and
he was very nervous about posting it. I think he had similar apprehensions to the ones that you did.
I just didn't want people to think I was like, "Hey, give us some money for no real reason."
Well, I am like, "Please, hey, give us some money for no real reason." That's fine. If you don't want the Patreon money, you just let me know. That's fine. But no, you're right. We'd be doing this if we never Patreon subscribers.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whereas he couldn't.
No.
Which is fine.
We don't have full time jobs.
Also, our videos take much less time than his do.
Yeah, I come around at some stage on a weekend.
Some weekends.
And we sit down for
three hours
at the outside.
And then Dennis does everything else.
And then Dennis does all, do all the editing. Yeah.
That's fine. So I'm just glad for him that that's something that the magic community is capable of doing. And Draft Magic are in the process of trying to do the same thing, with less success at time of recording, but that's, you know...
That's the thing.
Maybe that'll change. They, interestingly enough, this is a fun little story for you. Draft Magic used to be a big website.
It was never huge.
It was big enough.
It was reasonably sized. Yeah.
It's bigger than we are.
We have a website.
That's true. We talked about that. We didn't buy it. So please don't buy Wimbleslam.com. I really want that. Wimbleslam MTG, actually. Wimbleslam.com is taken by some insurance company or something stupid.
Really?
Yeah, people buy domains. Anyway, we approached them asking if they wanted to host our videos. Uh-huh. And they said yes. And I was like, awesome. This is before we were on MTG Academy.
Yeah.
And then Vito, the guy who runs Draft Magic, never replied to my emails. Stopped replying to my emails. And then I now know that was because his website went defunct because they ran out of money, essentially. Mm. And MTG Academy picked us up shortly after. But, oh, what could have been, you know? You know, that's a fun story. Give me a skeptical look.
I was there.
You were there. That's true. I think it's just interesting. So I wish them all the best. I hope they have great success. You can head over to patreon.com/draftmagic.
We're just going to plug things today. Things that aren't us.
If you could just scroll down the Patreon homepage and just give money to everybody.
Everybody who plays Magic.
Or just Nathan does a webcomic. That's probably what most of the Patreon is, right?
I have no idea. I don't use it.
If you would like to support us or any of the aforementioned parties, you can do that on
Patreon. The thing is...
Do you think Patreon's a vehicle for good in the YouTuber community?
I think Patreon's a great thing. I think the...
It's all the rage now in Magic. You know, Limited Resources have one, Ready Run have one, have one.
The thing is, so much of the content that people watch these days is free. Or people... articles and, some of the Star City articles you pay for, but a lot of articles, a lot of news, but people don't buy newspapers anymore. It's all online. Mm-hmm. People don't, a lot of people don't rent movies or go. I haven't gone to the cinema in a very long time because you can either watch something on Netflix if you just kind of feel like watching something.
Or Yar.
What's the pirate's favorite letter of the alphabet, by the way, Dennis?
R.
You'd think so, but me first love be the C.
That's amazing.
But yeah, you can.
I'm gonna wait a minute. Go on without me.
Yeah, you can. So much of the stuff you can do, so much entertainment now is free. And
but the caveat there used to be that you could pay for it with advertising.
Yeah, and now that's less true.
People use a software or some variation of a software known
AdBlock.
We can't say AdBlock. I think that's against YouTube Terms of Service.
Is this on YouTube?
Probably.
We're not allowed to say AdBlock.
Ixnay on the block AdNet. You definitely can't say
AdBlock. We're not allowed to say
AdBlock. You definitely can't say AdBlock. People use AdBlock. And some people do courteously turn off their AdBlock when they watch our videos.
Yeah.
But even with that, for channels of our size, we make...
No money.
The professor, for even a channel of his size, makes peanuts.
Yeah.
That's the reason for Patreon. It's an opportunity for you to give money to creators.
Yeah.
If you want to.
Someone on YouTube, I don't remember who it was, made the magic Mars bars argument, which is that if you go into a shop and you steal a Mars
bar. This is about piracy, though.
Yeah, but it's a similar concept. If you go into a shop and you steal a Mars bar, that shopkeeper's down a Mars bar.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into the same shop and steal a Mars bar and another Mars bar magically reappears in its place, it's sort of a victimless crime because the shopkeeper's not down a Mars bar and you're up a Mars bar, but if everyone does that, people who make Mars bars aren't going to be able to continue making Mars bars.
The counter argument there is that you might have bought a Mars bar. If you didn't pirate Age of Ultron, you might have bought a ticket to go see it.
Yeah.
I know that's not the case with a lot of people who pirate video games, movies and stuff.
Yeah, because you can't, I'm a poor student. If I want to play a video game, I'm probably going to pirate it because I just don't have the money. And when I'm a functioning member of society who's earning his own living, then I can do my bit.
So you heard it here, kids. If you want Ushin to stop stealing from content creators, head over to patreon.com/windmillslam.
But I think Patreon's an excellent thing. I think it's a great vehicle, and I think it allows... It seems like... I'm going to go bigger picture here for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the world is moving a lot more towards small content producers for very specific audiences.
Okay.
And I think that's probably a very cool thing.
Okay.
And Patreon's really helping with that.
I like Patreon. I think it's a force for good. You might be starting to do something very interesting in the near future.
That interesting. It's not original. It's just I've been playing a whole bunch of Hearthstone recently.
Mm-hmm.
Largely because I've been trying to avoid study. I've just put together my first semi-competitive deck. I've been getting into the game quite a bit. I've been playing a lot of Arena, and I might throw a video or two on the channel.
If you guys would like to see that, or if you'd like us to make a separate channel,
which just seems like a lot of work.
It's not a lot of work. It'll divide the audience. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So if you guys really don't, let us know in the comments. Do you want if we were to make Hearthstone content, would you want it to be here, or would you really, really hate that?
Yeah, the thing is, I don't. The reason to make a second channel would be people would be furious that Hearthstone content was showing up on Windmill Slam MTG.
Yeah.
We'd have to call it Windmill Slam HS or something else. But I think people aren't going to care. I think if people don't want to watch Hearthstone content, then they're not, it's not going to replace our regular scheduled programming.
No,
it's going to go up when I feel like doing it.
Yeah, I mean, this could also all never happen.
Yeah.
But I tried. I tried time and time again to get into Hearthstone. And I play it, and I'm like, this is great. I'm going to play this all the time. And then 2 days later, I'm like, well, I don't want to play this anymore because it's boring.
I've just been playing a ton. The other thing is, as well, the only reservation I have about doing this, because it's little to no effort for me. I'd be playing anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how this YouTube channel started.
Yeah.
Look where we are now. We're recording a podcast.
So, but the thing is, there's a lot of Hearthstone content out there. And I'm by no means the best Hearthstone player. I've started playing very recently. I'm ranked, 13, 12, I don't know. And I tend to hover somewhere around there.
What you should do is, when the new season starts, attempt to get to 1.
Or to Legend.
Or to whatever, I don't know. Is 1 the best? Is it like golf?
It's 25 to 1, and then beyond 1 is Legend.
Sure.
Yeah.
Try to attempt to get to John Legend by the end of the month, and record literally every single game on the way. Well,
that sounds miserable.
Well, they're very short.
They can be. They can be about as long as this podcast.
Yeah.
But I would definitely record an arena run and put it up.
That's a good idea, but you can record that in one video.
Yeah, exactly. Well, an arena run can take a while. Depends on how well I do.
Sure.
That's the nice thing about
it. You upload it, 8 minute arena video.
The other thing I can do is, compared to sitting down and recording a draft video, if we want to sit down and record a draft, that's taking us minimum 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to sit down...
The large majority of which is spent sitting around recording a podcast.
If I want to record an arena game, I can record a video of me building the deck and then playing a couple games and then go do something else for 2 days and then come back and finish the arena.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can look forward to that. Let us know if that's something you'd be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of letting us know, we have our ending segment.
Oh, Dennis, you and your segues.
In response. So at the end of every episode, we take a question that you've posted in the comments. So if you have a question for us for next week, please mm-hmm. post it down there and we'll look at them all and everything. This one, I don't actually have here word for word.
Okay.
But the essence of the question was, what do we think of Tiny Leaders mm-hmm. as a format? Do we think it's like a flash in the pan, a fad, or because being pushed by store owners to push cards?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we think it has real staying power in the same way that, Commander did?
So, for those of you who aren't aware of what Tiny Leaders is...
That includes me. I don't really know what it is.
Okay, so Tiny Leaders is a singleton Eternal format with its own separate ban list.
Okay.
It plays similarly to Commander, except... So it follows, you pick a commander, it has to be a legendary creature, every card in your deck must share the color identity of your commander. The color identity thing is a bit weird, but anyway. And the only restriction is you build a 50 card deck, no card can cost more than 3, can have more than 3 CMC.
Okay.
So...
It's like slower and faster and kind of more aggressive, maybe?
It's a nice idea. It kind of feels just like Singleton Legacy.
Because mm-hmm.
you just pick a decent legendary creature, Vendilion Click's really popular, and so is Tazig... No, Tazig is Commander. Vendilion Click or Woodwind or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And you just build a Legacy deck in Singleton.
That sounds crap.
And
people like Highlander, that's basically what Highlander is, isn't it?
Yeah, and except everything has to cost more, less, three
yeah,
less.
Sure.
It's not really meant to be played in multiplayer, as far as I'm aware.
Okay, all I knew was that it existed. There was something about 3 converted mana cost, and it was kind of a bit like Commander.
There was a rule, and there still is, because up until Cans of Tarkir, up until Fate Reforged, actually, there were some color
combinations
that didn't have Tiny Leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So Alesha is the only one if you want to play Mardu.
Okay.
There's still none for Sultai.
Yep, okay.
But you can build a Sultai deck and play the Sultai Tiny Leader, which is a blank card that for all intents and purposes reads green, blue, black, legendary creature, 2/2.
Is that the thing that the people invented?
Yeah.
It's cute. I like that.
Which is a nice idea.
I don't play it. I've never played it.
I don't have a deck.
It doesn't exist on Magic Online, so...
No.
It doesn't affect
me. It does feel like a sort of a vehicle to sell...
Cards that people wouldn't want otherwise. Yeah. Would you be interested in building one?
A Tiny Leaders deck? I don't love competitive commander, like 1v1 commander, as a thing. I don't. I think commander just should be for big, stupid
stuff. So you think Time Leaders is just a more narrow competitive commander field?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be terribly interested in it. I think if I was going to play something along those lines, I'd probably just play Legacy.
Okay. So to answer your question, I don't care, and Ushin doesn't seem overly interested.
I have picked up and played other people's Tiny Leaders decks and had fun, but it just... Yeah, I would almost rather play Legacy.
That's fair enough. If you have a different question, our theme next week is Game of Thrones. That's a reference that some people might get.
I didn't get it.
Good.
If you have a question...
Probably not about Game of Thrones.
Oh, we can talk about Game of Thrones. No spoilers, though.
Doesn't have to be magic related. If you have any quantum physics questions...
They'll probably be directed at Dennis.
I can probably answer that slightly more efficiently than you are. If you have any engineering questions,
specifically
electronics. Electronics, those are all Ushin. Mm-hmm. That's Ushin's who has.
If you also just want to know things about our lives, why you would, I have literally no idea.
Questions about magic are obviously deferred to me. literally anything. We can't promise we'll answer them all.
No, we will answer one every week. We might answer two if we feel like it.
But please let us know down in the comments. Again, we post draft videos on YouTube every week with youtube.com/womenslandmtg.
If you're listening to this on MTG Cast, hello.
Please head over and subscribe. Otherwise, you know all about us, presumably. Please support us on Patreon. Please support the...
Let's stop asking them for things.
Please support the wizard, the professor.
Just please do what you want to do with your life and just have fun.
Alright, Sergeant Liberal.
Yeah, like... I feel like we've wrapped up now, so it's weird to talk about this. I always feel really uncomfortable saying, please subscribe, please like the video, please head over to Patreon. Like, if you want to do that, we make it available to you, but do what you want with your time, really.
We talked about this earlier, and this is a very, very behind-the-scenes thing, where you said that, like, the reason we're doing this is not so that as many people as possible watch it, which is fair.
Yeah, we were having a discussion, a management team meeting.
A Wimbledon production meeting.
About whether or not to... move away from the draft content and over to more sort of like big picture, you know, sort of deck tech
kind of stuff.
Top X clickbait cards in Magic, right?
And Ushin made the point that we don't do this to get as many views or make as much money.
Because we don't make money off of this. This is a hobby.
I made the point that we wouldn't have been doing this for a year and a half if only four people were watching it.
Exactly. So there is a balance.
So while I'm more comfortable saying, please like and subscribe and check out our Patreon, you're much more like, guys, just fucking shut up. And that's fine, but those are fundamental differences in our personalities. So if you want to know about fundamental differences in our personalities, please leave questions for next week.
Yes.
This has been Between Rounds, the rambliest of them, I think, for sure.
We've kind of gone all over the place.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.